Hey guys, this is not your episode of Cult of Lore. I'm Ben.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Jerry.
And today we're going to interrupt your show very briefly with a special announcement. We have a way of us making money! Woo! Not a lot of money, but it does take quite a lot of effort for us to do this. A lot of time. More specifically time than effort, but a lot of time.
A lot of tears.
And sweat.
Tears, sweat, sleepless nights.
We keep future Eric in a slave tent.
It's terrible.
Not even a building, a tent.
So, how can you support the show? You will find a link in the description and or show notes, and that is where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month to support the show.
If you want to know what that'll go to for Cult of Lore directly, that's going to go into us more sound stuff for us to be able to work on the quotes in particular. That's a direction that we want to go into heavily. But also, it'll also go towards helping with animation, our equipment. We need new mics, mic stands, headphones. Like we have one laptop that, much like future Eric, is just a slave to our whims. And the machine god really hates that. All of that will go towards this.
You'll also help by supporting us. We'll be able to do more with the show, more fancy stuff.
So click the support the show link, subscribe, join the community. We appreciate you. And please leave comments and reviews and five stars.
Yeah. All 5 stars at all the podcasts, all the different places. But with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for the support, guys.
Please enjoy the show.
Appreciate you.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Call Lore. I'm Ben.
I'm Eric.
And this has been a hell of a month.
Boy, you said it.
This episode, we don't have Jerry with us because this is impromptu.
Yep.
It was real quick. We've had the dog shit beat out of us.
Yes, absolutely.
Eric's gotten a new job that has gonna alter our structure slightly.
Yeah.
Not for you guys so much, although as we're scrambling to kind of pick up the not pieces, but to reassemble things differently, it will affect things slightly, as you've probably noticed.
Yeah, you're feeling the us adjusting to the new schedule.
Right. So. And then when we got adjusted to that, Essie, who is the editor for Cult Talks Conspiracy, if you listen to those, you know who Essie is.
Yeah.
If you only listen to us, you don't know who he is. He's a Canuck that helps us make things.
Canuck.
And despite that, we like him.
We do. We really do.
But he actually shit the bed this time and decided to go on vacation for 2 months when we needed him to edit our shit when Eric usually does it. So thanks for that, you fucking useless bitch in the north.
Although, not that we like it any better. He's going on tour, not vacation. So he'll be working.
It's vacation. He's not working for us. It's vacation, you worthless fuck.
There we go. Yep. There's a little peek into Cult Talk Network culture.
No. As he's going to help us out when he gets back, but we don't pay bills, so he must other ways.
Yes.
Actually, we do pay bills for him, son of a bitch. Anyway, but then after we got that kind of sorted out, we all started exploding from both ends.
Yeah.
We got a visit from the grandfather Nurgle.
In a big way. Like, he gave us a big old hug, one at a time.
Yeah, just slowly worked through our house, one person at a time, about a week apart.
Yeah. It was awful. Awful.
And so every time we'd get something scheduled, somebody else would literally explode.
And then just kaput for days. It took me days to recover from that. It was like a single night, but it was like days of just bed. So we're
trying to soldier past all that to get back to a normal schedule. So this is going to be a short episode, but it's also going to be a pilot episode for something that we've wanted to do.
Yeah.
Which is, we just kind of, right before we recorded this, decided to call them Moments in Lore, which is where instead of doing a book review or an entire review on like a history of something, we take one moment from a book or a moment in the story, and we take a look at it.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to start with today.
And Eric actually picked the very first one.
I did. Yeah.
And if you can read, some of you can't, it's The Temptation of Talos, which is chapter
nine.
Chapter 9 in the first book of the Night Lords trilogy known as Soul Hunter.
Yeah. So I'll start by telling you a little bit, I guess, why I... Well, should we start? Yeah, why did I pick this chapter? We'll get that out of the way real quick. It's got chaos gods in it and some, like, lore things in it that I really liked and the more mystical side of Warhammer that I guess we haven't covered too much, like, psychery stuff. We've got some chaos episodes and some chaos gods and stuff.
What we really haven't covered is the 40K stuff.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah.
We are light on what's actually happening. We tend to, this is my fault. I will take all the blame in this. We tend to get mired in the Horus Heresy with the Primarchs.
Right.
And that is 100% my fault. I'm a 30K fan. 40K, I like 40K. I like the Tyranids and all that, obviously. But I get mired in the 30K.
You do.
Sue me.
Yeah. Hey, the rich characters and a rich story. And frankly, you have to understand the 30th millennia to understand the 40th.
But so this takes place in the 41st or 40th. I think it was probably the 41st millennium by the time these stories came out, because they're 10 years old, maybe.
Ooh, yeah, they're older books.
They are older. Yeah, but I don't have that. But I mean, they are on everybody's top list.
Oh,
if you listen to anybody talk about the Night Lords trilogy, it's always about how good they are.
I can see why. Like, you know, I'm not all the way through the first book at the time of this recording. But clearly, like, I could see why this book series has become so popular. The characters are really good. And yeah, even so far, like, I'm sure it's just got to get crazier from where
I'm at. Does. So, yeah, they were. So this wasn't my first run. The first book I read was Flight of the Eisenstein. And then after that was the Lehman Russ book, which was not good. It was okay. I don't want to say it wasn't good.
Yeah.
The Sanguinius Primarch book, that was not good. That guy should be shamed.
Oh, yeah.
Shamed. That book was terrible.
You didn't like that.
But after that, so is the third book, oddly enough, I started the Night Lords trilogy, and it's phenomenal. I'm excited. Obviously, if you guys have listened to us in the past episodes, we said that we were going to cover the trilogy in its entirety for Cult-tober.
Right.
We were the first Cult Talk Net channel to announce a Cult-tober plan, so the rest of them could eat a fat dick on that.
Woo!
But we're moving through the books, we're going to do little moments here and there.
Yep, moments of lore.
And this is the first one.
Yeah, so chapter 9, which is called The Four Gods.
Right. I don't want to get bogged down in describing a lot of this book.
Okay.
Because we're going to do episodes on that.
Right. And you should read it if you haven't.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Anytime we review a book, if you don't hear us say it, I mean to say it, or I've said it later in the episode, read the fucking book before you listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Not only are we required to say so to help keep, like, the companies off of our asses, but you know what? Fuck it. I'll tell you which ones to read. It doesn't mean you have to listen to me. Obviously, our tastes are going to be different.
Right.
But I'll tell you, if this book is dog shit, don't read it. Sanguinius, the Blood Angel Primarch book, dog shit. Use it for toilet paper. That's it.
Ooh. Just not enough Sanguinius in it, really, just to head off.
Not just that. It's a bad story.
Gotcha.
It's a bad story with a stupid character that's not about Sanguinius.
Okay.
That book is a miss on literally every level.
Yeah, that's no good. You can't put Sanguinius on the title and
have him be in it for 10 pages.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah.
And he's talking, not doing shit, talking. So yeah, like,
there you go. Yeah.
So fuck it. I'll tell you if it's worth reading or not.
But then you decide for yourself.
But the Night Lords trilogy is absolutely worth reading. A lot of the Heretic books are just good. They handle them well. And I think that's because you have to make the characters likable because they're doing horrible shit.
That's very true on both sides, really. You know, like, it's pretty brutal on the good guys' side.
It is.
You know.
But they're the good guys. So you can inherently make them more stodgy and less.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Like, funny and less personable because you don't have to get over that moral hump.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I really like about these stories, especially in the Heresy, is just how focused the creators are on getting both sides of the perspective. Like, I like that in conflicts, and it's not something that's easy to do in stories and not always something that's desirable to do. Sometimes you just need a clear-cut hero and a clear-cut villain.
Yes, Star Wars used to be this.
Right.
Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. These classic stories of just basic good versus basic evil are incredibly important.
Yeah, they are important to keep and to have and stuff, but that doesn't mean that I don't really enjoy the ones where it's, I don't even want to say morally ambiguous. Like,
no, because
that's
a good thing about this is, and I think a lot of people that are against this thing kind of miss this, is you can like the characters.
Yeah.
And be invested in their story while not agreeing with what they do, even
right.
as the book is presenting their ideas. I don't even think the book is justifying them in the meta. It's
right.
explaining their point of view.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can understand somebody without agreeing with them. And you can even empathize with somebody without agreeing with their actions or their words or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, I really enjoy stories like that. So that's one of the things I just love about the Horus Heresy and how they approach it.
And 40K is chocked full of moments like that,
it
whether
really
it's the Deceiver with Angron and Logar.
Yeah.
But, you know, you spend time with the World Eaters and they're, you know, you really get attached to a lot of them because they're kind of witty almost.
Right.
And then
jovial sometimes,
yep.
you know.
And then you have the same thing here with the Night Lords. Like, the Night Lords, well, they are my favorite traitor legion.
Right.
They're just so good to read. And I don't want to get too bogged down in the characters or anything,
right.
but the main character of the Night Lords trilogy is Talos.
Talos,
his nickname or his kind of designation is Soul Hunter, which of course is the title of the first book. And Talos was around during the Horus Heresy. He was a favored among Conrad Kurz, and he shared Conrad Kurz's gift of foresight.
Right.
Only it wasn't as perverted as Kurz's was.
Okay, I see.
I don't know if you've gotten to this point yet where Talos finds out kind of exactly how the flaws in Kurz's vision.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay.
No. Okay.
So Kurz's foresight was kind of locked onto the worst version of things, the Horus Heresy.
Right.
He saw the same future that Horus was shown by the demons. The Horus Heresy as it existed if they did things exactly without changing.
I see. Okay.
So both Horus and Conrad thought this was the only future. Talos doesn't have that. It's not locked onto a particular future. It's much more like Sanguinius's.
Right. Yeah.
Which is hilarious when you consider how much Talos in the books and the other Night Lords really go, oh, he's inherited from the Primarch. It's like, kind of. More
yeah.
like he inherited from an uncle.
Yeah, so it is a lot more. See, I haven't run into Sanguinius too much in the books just yet. Not
as Sanguinius,
nothing, but yeah.
So Sanguinius sees his death as a fixed point, and everything fans out and then narrows to that point.
Okay.
And the closer he gets to that fixed point, the less fanned out,
the narrower it gets.
The paths
I
get.
I see. Okay. So, yeah, no, I hadn't picked up that Talos was really seeing different versions of it, but he certainly had an understanding that there were.
Yeah.
He
understands that things can happen a certain way or they cannot happen a certain way or that you can change them.
Right.
Kurz was completely locked in that this is the only way it can happen and that nothing can change.
Right.
Now, whether you believe that he was just using that as an excuse or not depends on how much you actually believe how crazy he was.
Right. Yeah.
Was he legitimately crazy and literally just thought that the future is this set bar, or was he not so crazy and was just using it as an excuse to do the things he was doing?
Yeah.
I think he was nuttier than a shithouse rat.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've made my case for Kurz. Go watch the Kurz episode. My opinions haven't changed.
There you go. So we'll pick up with Talos. Talos is in a situation where he has been trapped and poisoned. I don't know if we should. It's kind of an early twist, I guess. So we don't have to.
So Talos is Pre-sight makes him a hot commodity amongst not just the Night Lords, but chaos in general.
Right.
And he gets approached by Abaddon the Dickless.
Mm-hmm. Caught me in the middle of a drink of my coffee there.
I do not listen. I understand and I support what Games Workshop is trying to do with Abaddon. They're trying to like rehabilitate his image. He suffered as the main bad guy. He suffered a lot of early losses that make it hard to take it serious. So what they're doing now is retconning them. Yeah, they're retconning them, boys. Ooh. I know that that word's not supposed to exist, but when you're doing shit like this, you can backwards explain it all you want. It's a retcon.
I see.
Okay. Now what they're doing is those losses are more like anytime somebody brings up those losses to Abaddon, he says, and I actually think this happened in the Night Lord's book. He says like, oh, were they losses? Do you know my full plans? How do you know I didn't lose that on purpose so that I could win something else? You don't know that. And so they're kind of playing this like he meant to lose these things. And,
oh, I
yeah,
see.
Okay.
Playing some sort of board game. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you do have to do that to rehabilitate his image if he's going to be the main bag. I understand. And I, like I said, I support it.
Right.
But don't tell me it's not fucking But I don't. I just think there are better characters.
Yeah.
That could lead.
Well, he seems like a lesser Horus, pretty much. Like,
that's all he is.
Yeah, he was dressed as Horus.
They've gone to such lengths to make him not to try to get him out from underneath that, but it's just not worked.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, the chapter right before this one, he was all decked out in Horus.
It's his armor. Right.
Yeah. And it just screamed daddy issues, to be frank.
It does. Like, I think Typhus would be a much better...
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Although he's such a pure leader for Nurgle that, you know, but
right.
But you really want, you really like make it Erebus. Have Erebus kill Abaddon and have Erebus be the leader.
Honestly,
of Chaos
Undivided.
Honestly,
that was kind of like what I thought. Like, why wouldn't, I mean, he's kind of the puppet master behind the whole thing anyway.
I mean, yeah, Erebus or even Corpharon, either of those two would have been a better like Chaos Undivided leader than what Abaddon would be, because neither one of them are hung up with the back.
Right.
Images of Horus and also that whiff of failure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not as familiar with his losses, but I imagine like they must be a lot to that. And that's a symptom you have with like serial bad guys. It's like eventually they lose too many times to keep the show going or the story going. And then it's kind of like, you've cut their balls off at this point. We're afraid when they show up.
No.
You know, but.
The Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars. And I like Clone Wars for what it was. I like Clone Wars, but both of them did that. They did that with Thrawn, and then they also did, Clone Wars did that with Grievous.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to bring up Grievous.
Grievous
yeah.
is so...
It's like, oh, this big dangerous cyborg, but how many times did he lose?
How many times do you have to run away? It's just...
It's always running away. Anyway.
So anyway,
yeah.
Abaddon is trying to get Talos to join him, but Talos realizes that Abaddon's a big old bag of Nobi. So yep. Abaddon then tries to use psychic fuckery.
Yeah. So he poisons him to knock him out and then lets some acolytes have their way with him. And what they do is while he's unconscious, they are like they're channeling, it seems, the chaos gods. And what's cool about this chapter is one by one, he converses with each of the four chaos gods. And they all are wearing his face and different versions of his armor.
This is one of the few times all four chaos gods show up.
Oh, I figured.
If you believe... So there's a few degrees of separation here.
Okay.
Are they the chaos gods? Or are they the avatars of the chaos gods?
Right, okay.
Which is not exactly the same. Because every greater demon... The Bloodthirsters of Khorne, the Great Unclean Ones of Nurgle, the Weaver, Changer of Ways, the Keeper of Secrets. Mm. All of these are the greater demons of the Chaos Gods, but they are like facsimiles of the Chaos Gods themselves, like a separate form of consciousness of the Chaos Gods, but also
still the Chaos still God.
An aspect of that Chaos God themselves.
Kind of like how you... cut the stem off of a plant and plant it and it develops roots and becomes,
right. Only if that plant was still controlled by the plant you cut it from.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you might look at this and say, well, then it doesn't matter because it's the Chaos God either way. But the difference between encountering an avatar of the Chaos God and then encountering the Chaos God itself would be like encountering a tornado. Which is impressive.
Right.
And then the clouds opening up and then God just stepping down naked and be like, how do you like me? Like, these are vastly, hugely different things, even though you could technically say, you know, a tornado is like the finger of God.
Right.
These things. Yeah. So if Talos got the attention of all four avatars of the Chaos Gods, then he's relatively an important chap.
Yeah.
If he got all, if he got the attention of all four Chaos Gods to show up, then this was an audition to, then Abaddon's a fucking idiot. Because he's thinking he's using the Chaos Gods to lure Talos. If all four Chaos Gods are actually showing up in person to talk to Talos, this is a goddamn job interview, you moron, for your replacement.
It's that level, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, thank you for putting that into perspective for me, because reading it the first time, and I read it a few different times now, knowing that we were going to do this episode, and I was kind of like, is he really that important? Like, you know, and he's talking to them like that, and they're just kind of like, yeah. And they kind of explain it's like, you know, this is just a fast, just a, like a fraction of me turning a brief glance on you, just like I do 1,000 other lives or whatever, you know? So, it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they say that. They say that to demean the shit out of him, but I don't know where else in the lore you find all four of them
together
yeah. suffering each other's
presence
to do this.
Yeah.
So cram it with that, Slaanesh. Or was it Zeech?
I think it was Slaanesh, yeah.
Yeah, cram it with that, Slaanesh. Like, that's bull.
Yeah. So, whatever your interpretation, for simplicity's sake, my own sanity's sake, I guess I'll refer to them each as the god that
you
they
should
at least represent. But yeah.
In the lore itself, like, these have some wild implications as to if Talos had agreed, what could have changed.
Oof, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah. And let's get into that, because I do have some notes here and stuff like that. So, speaking of the temptations, I listed all that. So, Talos first faces Slaanesh, who looks like him. I didn't write down what the armor looked different for each one, and I didn't have what the Slaanesh version of Talos had. I know he was marked by it must have been a chaos symbol or Slaanesh.
It was a Slaanesh symbol on his forehead.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, I don't remember what his armor was described as either.
It
now that you're saying it, let us know in the comment section if you remember.
Yeah.
Don't go look it up. That's cheating as fuck.
Yeah, like, just if you know.
If you've read it and you remember.
If you know. And so the temptation that Slaanesh gave, and Slaanesh also provided the most exposition, kind of helped him understand what was going on before they really got into it. And, you know, Talos is defiant with Slaanesh, and he gets tempted with, it was like exaltation.
Worship.
Yeah. He had this vision of himself like victorious on a battlefield, covered in wounds that ached with intense pleasure.
Yeah, but it was wounds that would kill an Astartes, but not,
he was like, he felt Primarch level.
He thought that this must be what the Primarchs feel like.
Right. And, you know,
doubtful.
Yeah, right. And laughing to the sky, relishing in it, and
cutting himself.
Gouging his face, and all of his Astartes worshiping him. And what
calling him Prince Talos.
Prince Talos, I know. And what struck me is what broke him out of it was the thought of he briefly like thought like this must be what a Primarch must feel, like what the Night Hunter must feel, and that kind of broke him out of it.
He's like, no, this is nothing like.
Yeah, he never held himself above us. He was morbid, and
he never wanted worshipped.
Yeah, and that was his strength or whatever. So that was, I liked that was what snapped him out of the vision and brought him back, and then he kind of offered that denial.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So it went with Slaanesh, and he turned to the next one, who I don't think ever really, I listened for it, especially the last time, and I don't think it ever named itself, but it was Zeech.
The Weaver of Fate.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was Zeech.
So, and what was also interesting was that Talos seemed to recognize him. Is there anything there like that I don't know about?
The impression that I got was that because he makes reference to a character named Vandrid, who is technically his superior officer. He is full blown like Zeechian corruption.
Right.
He's basically a demon now.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if he was just I always felt like he kind of was just familiar with Zeech because of that exposure.
Okay. And maybe that was it. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Evandrid, though, because that Slaanesh, I also marked down which Astartes each god brought up. Slaanesh brought up, I think, my handwriting. I mean, not my handwriting, but my spelling. Sirion?
Sirion.
Sirion. Sirion, who's feeds on fear already. And, you know, he's like asking, Talos asked, is he one of yours? And, you know, he got the not yet, but, you know,
yeah, he's
feels
like,
my touch.
Yeah, Talon's like, he resists. He's like, no.
Yeah.
Only, you know, on the surface.
Yeah. He's like feeding on the fear of his foes and really into his, yeah. So, but anyway, back to Mr. Zeench, who does bring up Evandrid. The armor was the scavenged, because Talos has had to scavenge armor.
From all different chapters.
Yeah, like just Astartes he's killed in order to replace his, because they're not getting new armor. That's,
right.
You know, the condition that the Night Lords are in right now.
Loyalist and traitor alike.
Loyalist too, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah, his sword is Blood Angel's sword.
As part of the armor, yes. That's true, yeah. Loyalist. Yeah, I thought you meant that the Loyalists couldn't replace their armor.
No. His armor is made out of Loyalist and traitor armor.
And so, which he's, of course, painted over to match
the
Night Lord armor. But Zeench is wearing a version where all of it's unpainted, and you just see the patchwork of different Astartes that, you know, have
he's
contributed
killed
to it. Yeah. And he does kind of, on his own, it's not a vision, flashback to this fight he had with, didn't write that down.
Oh.
But he described it as the fiercest 3 minutes of his life. It got down to hand-to-hand, and he just brutally kills this Astartes.
I think it was the Blood Angel, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was a Blood Angel.
I can't
Some
remember.
Something says no in my brain, but I don't have remember. It. Yeah, sorry, guys. Read the book. It's there. He just relives this fierce moment. And I thought that was interesting, in that it's interesting that Zeench's armor had all these different connections. It's like all these different puzzle pieces coming together.
Yep.
So, and Zeench tempts him with power and what may be considered a more perfect or open foresight.
So, yeah, it's like he can picture what happens to a person just by focusing on the person.
Yeah, and all the possibilities along with it.
And all the possibilities along with it. And the things, and while also being able to predict what happens in the next couple of minutes.
Right. So
he almost has an omniscient level of...
Yeah. That was certainly what it seemed like, because he goes into a vision where he's kind of experiencing that in his mind. He's conducting a space battle as he's planning to deal with the Evandrid, Exalted.
Yeah.
So, and he's just kind of like, oh, and just in him, you know, if I were to just take a moment to focus on this thread or that thread, I could expand it out and zoom in on it. And, you know, he's really feeling that power, that psyker power, I guess. What else was going on with that?
It dialed up his psyker power to 11. We know that his only real psyker power is that being able to see the future, but
right.
In this vision, he was talking about Evandrid, who, you know, he's dethroned, and he was talking about how the Atramentar, which are the Night Lords, like, elite, they were going to physically torture Evandrid, and then he was going to psychically torture Evandrid, which is something that Talos can't do.
On his own. Yeah. He's just got foresight.
Right.
Yeah,
so apparently it's all...
He's all juiced up.
Yeah, also being able... He's just a straight-up psyker at that point.
Right. Oh, and he did... Okay, so I remember the whispers, though. He started to hear whispers in his mind. And
yeah, he could hear what everybody was thinking.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay, I wasn't sure if that was a Zeench-y torture.
No, for me, I think it was he was able to hear all the bridge crew and everything that they were thinking.
Okay, that makes more sense.
The Atramentar.
Yeah. So, but he was kind of broken out of it by the foresight thing and seeing the different threads. And, you know, it was like, no, nothing is certain. The future is yet unwritten.
Yeah.
It's
like you can't see things that well.
Yeah.
Nobody sees things that well. This is fake.
Right. Yeah. Can't be. He knows. He claims his sight is pure, which I don't know about
it's
that.
It's not. Well, it's.
Can it really be?
No. So it all comes from chaos corruption.
Right.
And again, it obviously comes from curse, because that's the genetic material, but it functions more like Sanguinius's.
Right.
Although it's somewhere between the two. The only reason why he considers it pure is because he considers it a gift from the Primarch.
I see. Part of his lineage.
Yeah. Whereas it's not something given to him. He was born with it.
Right.
It's a quote-unquote natural talent.
Yeah.
As natural as the Astartes get.
Yeah, that's fair. So
when everything's inherited, you have to be kind of liberal with your definitions of
that's
things.
True. But regardless, it gives him the strength of will to deny what Tzeentch is offering. You're just kind of...
And he says, get gone.
Yep.
And it brings me to, like, my favorite part of this entire thing.
It was so great.
Oh, my God. He turns to Nurgle.
Yep. You get the bugs, and you're like, ooh, this is the Nurgle one. And it's him in his Nurgle face, and he's kind of bloated. And you're like, all right, wow, what's Nurgle got to offer this guy?
Not a fucking thing, that's what.
Not a thing. Nurgle's just like, yeah, you got nothing to offer me. I got nothing to offer you. I was summoned here. Bye.
Yeah, he's like, I was brought here. I wanted to see what was up, and I realized it was a Night Lord. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I don't want these guys. He's like, I have nothing to offer you, and you have absolutely no... Nurgle's the real one.
Yeah.
Nurgle's like, you don't even like me.
Yeah.
He's like, you have no desire to use any of my powers, do you? And Talos is like, no. He's like, all right, then.
Peace.
I've got other shit to do.
Yeah. It was great. It was so funny. He wouldn't even tell... But, you know, at that point, Talos was, wait, who did summon you? Wasn't it Astartes? And Nurgle was... literally so done. He's like, I ain't giving you nothing. So I don't know who. Maybe it was that Reuven guy. Is that who that?
No,
Astartes was
nobody.
Astartes, he was
okay. Nobody. That's the thing. Is the Night? I don't know that there is a single case. If there is, guys, let me know. I've not heard one. A single case of a Night Lord being possessed by Nurgle.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you have it. So yeah, Nurgle gave him literally nothing.
No.
And that was hilarious, which is so funny because he's like the obvious one. Each god I was more worried about, like, figuring out, okay, which one is this, you know, from the signs leading up to it. And with Nurgle, it's just like flies, bloated face, Ichor. That's my man Nurgle. Oh, what on earth could he offer Talos? This would be interesting. Shit all. Yeah.
Nothing.
It was hilarious.
It was so good.
Nurgle's my favorite one coming out of this.
He is my favorite chaos guy.
Yeah. He's so great. He's so just real. And he loves us. It's not done out of any sort of malice.
Nurgle is the only one, is the only chaos god that you can trust.
Yeah. And he's just like, you don't want none of my love? Fine. I don't want none of yours. Bye.
Yeah. Once you understand Nurgle's point of view, it's like, okay, I can now, I don't want to say deal with you because I would never, but I can
yeah.
I can't be fooled by you. And it's not really that you're trying. It's just, we speak two very different languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say good to me. That means bad.
Yeah.
As long as we understand that it's a translation error.
Right. Then we're good or bad. Shit. Yeah.
Anyway, so he straight up nopes out.
Yep. Gone. Very quickly, we move on to, you know, you just turn to the Korn version of Talos's armored up body and Korn himself or Avatar or whatever. And his armor, I think, disturbs Talos the most because of how altered it was in a way that it just never was. It's now blood red. It's bronze plated and it's just gouged up with damage and wounds and stuff like that.
There was one of them that was painted the original classic colors.
Okay.
Of the Night Lords. And I can't remember who it was.
Well, that may have been either Slaanesh or...
Was it Slaanesh?
It might have been because we couldn't remember what that one was. It might have been. I think so. You might be right. Yeah.
Okay.
They'll let us know if we're wrong.
Yeah. One of them was like the OG original Heresy colors.
Okay. So that really might have been Slaanesh. That would make sense. Because why would Nurgle put forth the effort?
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah.
No.
So it must
his was literally like, you've got nothing to say to me. I've got nothing to say to you.
Right. So it must have been Slaanesh then. The old colors. Then.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, I'm glad that eventually emerged. So
yeah, it's
that's interesting. I wonder why that would be from Slaanesh.
Are we sure that Slaanesh wasn't the one that was multicolored and Tzeentch wasn't the one that was the OG? Well,
Slaanesh's may have been, but I am pretty sure that Tzeentch's was the OG of the pieces.
See, that's what I see. Yeah, maybe that's what I'm remembering. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Karn.
So we get to Korn and the armor is all fucked up and red and bronze, gouged. When he ends up taking off his helmet, the face is all scarred and cut up and stuff. I thought that was interesting too, who wore and didn't wear their helmets. His struck me as he started wearing it, then he took it off.
Yeah, you would think that Karn would be one that would keep the...
Just keep it on. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I guess the better to bite the throats of your foes with. And he mentions the Astartes Uzas as being under his influence soon to be. Yeah.
I feel so bad for Uzas. Uzas is a Night Lord that's under Korn corruption.
Right.
There's a scene, you haven't gotten to it yet, but it's... They're in a dropship heading to a battle, and they have a new member with them, and Uzas is getting ready for battle, so he's just, blood for the blood god, and he's just sitting in his corner, foaming at the mouth, you know, just reciting his shit all the time, and the new guy's like, does he ever stop that? Stop! Just starts yelling at him. They're all like, he can't hear you. And Talos just reaches over and grabs Uzas's helmet, just smacks his head off the wall. And Uzas just kind of shakes his head and starts going, blood for the look. He's like, see, he hears nothing. Just gave him like a 4-point concussion just to demonstrate he ain't paying no bit of attention.
He ain't here right now. He ain't home. That's hilarious.
Talos is like, shut up. Every mission, every time. Shut up. But I feel bad for Uzas because it's not like he could control it.
No, it's like a dog coming down with rabies.
Rabies, yeah.
Like, just, what are you going to do?
They have this dog that's foaming at their mouth, and they're like, would you mind, sir?
And he's like, dude, he can't help it.
It's just a funny moment for poor Uzas.
I know. So, you know, he kind of confirms the suspicion that Uzas is going to become under the control of Korn. I think each one of the Astartes is like, nah, not yet. Well, Vandred. But
Vandred is full over it.
Yeah.
Uzas is more or less.
Yeah. And Korn kind of is going on a little bit more like, time is short. My temptation is this, you know, strength. And I think he runs out of time because Talos doesn't get a vision. I think he does at first, and I'll explain that in a moment. But that kind of is Slaanesh the opposite of Korn as far as the chaos rivalry goes? I know. Yes.
Yeah, it's Slaanesh.
So that makes sense. I have a pet theory that Slaanesh took some extra time explaining
at the beginning.
So that Korn
to cut off Korn.
And
that's funny. This is like my third time reading that, and I hadn't considered that.
It just occurred to me.
I bet he did. That little bastard.
I know. Like just this fucking underhand.
He's like, who's going last? Who's going last?
It's Korn. Isn't it?
Oh, okay. I can do this. Your Honor, I believe that.
And you must
facts will show that my client
fucking filibusters him. Yeah, that's
just
great.
Hands up there.
Yeah. So that's a little pet theory there.
You just see Korn in the background, like, he's got to get out of here. Korn, what the fuck is he doing?
Hurry up.
And Nurgle's over there watching Korn just lose his mind. He's like, hey, all right. I've got time. I'll yield it to the angry man in the corner. Thank you. So tell us what I got for you. Says, oh, fuck. Damn it.
So
that's fucking hilarious.
So that's just like, fuck you.
Just giving him the finger in the background.
So, yeah, that made me laugh to think of. So he doesn't quite get he offers him some strength and he's like, I have such things to show you. And then Talos vomits up this black mist in the vision. I think that's his body expelling the last of the toxins that poisoned him.
And then he
wakes up and this is why I thought he was in the Korn vision, because he wakes up and he sees these three acolytes around. And I'm still like, oh, who are they? Are they here to help him? And he just fucking,
he's like, kill.
Yeah. Praesite fucking bashes the head in of the first guy, and I'm like, oh, no questions. Okay, just going right into it.
No, once he realized he was in his armor again, he's like, oh, game on.
Yeah, and just proceeds to slaughter these people. Slower, you know, the other two slower than, progressively slower, actually, than the first one. The first one, just his head pops, and he was the lucky one. Second one's a little more gruesome, and the third one gets kept alive to answer a couple questions.
In the Night Lords trilogy, like the greatest slash most horrible thing that you can hear happen, the like line that happens, you can know shit's getting ready to go down, is when you just see or hear the words Praesite.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear Praesite, you're like, oh fuck.
Oh yeah, it made me pucker up.
Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah, again, I thought I have the like, what if they're here to help you?
Nope.
No questions.
That's not how Night Lords play.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'll keep that in mind if I ever come across a fallen Night Lord.
Yeah.
I will run away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he might wake up at any moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to help him. I would. But I don't think I'll survive the encounter. He can find me after.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that kind of ends
that section.
Encounter with the gods.
Yeah.
So
that's our moment in lore.
Right yeah. There. Our moment in lore. What are you, if you've read it, what are your thoughts on the chapter and seeing all the chaos gods there together? To me, that was really exciting.
Yeah.
Once I discovered what
was
happening.
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Talos had the opportunity to take over for Abaddon in that moment?
That's a good question.
Was Abaddon still in control? Was this like it was his attempt to he perceived it as him trying to lure Talos. Was he in control or were the Chaos Gods doing a little outdoor shopping? Did Slaanesh filibuster Khorne at the beginning there?
Yeah.
I have never heard somebody bring that up as a possibility. I love that idea because they are always trying to fuck each other over.
I kind of thought that. And it just, like I said, just came up while we were in this podcast. So, yeah, that's a good. What do you guys think?
And then my final question, which has nothing to do with any of this except for the Night Lords trilogy itself. On a scale of 1 to 10. How much of like just absolutely pissed off are you that it has been like 10 plus years since these fucking books have been finished and we have not heard shit about Decimus? And if you don't know who Decimus is, which Eric doesn't know
no,
who Decimus is.
No, I don't.
We haven't heard anything about Decimus. Are you fucking for real? Like, obviously, we'll get into that at, you know, when
as the series progresses.
Yeah. But like, you're going to bring in a character like Decimus. And you're just going to just be like, yeah, he's out there somewhere doing something at some point. For 10 years? Really?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I really like the Night Lords, so I would love some more. I want all the Night Lords material.
Yeah.
I want more Night Lords books. I don't care if it's 30K, 40K, whatever.
Heck yeah. Okay.
So the fact that they haven't like picked back up with that just angers me.
Cool. Okay. I can't wait to know who you're talking about.
All right. So some brief announcements.
Yeah.
We are going to have episodes coming out very soon. If you haven't seen the advertisement that I had Ty ring up, we have obviously this Night Lords episode is dropping. After that, this is my fault again. We're doing Helldivers. Because I want to.
For liberty.
And democracy. Managed, of course.
Of course.
But that game has just bit me right in the taint, and I love it
in a big way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah.
I love the lore. I love the gameplay. I want if there's Cult of Lore people that play it, I want to play it with you.
Ooh, so all right.
So we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Next, after that, we're gonna jump back onto the Primarch train with Magnus the Red.
Okay, Magnus the Red. All right.
So. So there's some episodes coming up. Obviously, we always do random. If random shit strikes us and we got the time,
right,
we will absolutely drop random shit.
Yep.
So quotes. I don't think we have any holidays coming up. Thank God.
Right. Yeah. A little break from holidays. That'll keep us on track a little bit.
But stay tuned for some of that. I'm going to do an effort at trying to keep you guys apprised of what's coming up in the future a lot better.
Right.
Starting with this round of advertisements and coming soon stuff that you've hopefully seen from Ty by this point.
Yeah.
So
we're
those,
getting our shit together.
Yes,
don't you worry.
We yeah. got rocked, but we're not gone. We're not even, we are slowed.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll get back at it.
We're used to being slowed. We're getting old.
Yeah.
So
we're getting old. We're getting tired.
Yeah. The other usual housekeeping stuff. Check out the other shows on Cult Tuck. That Cult Tuck's Conspiracy with Ty and Bailey exploring different conspiracies and branching out into like cryptids and stuff like that. UFOs. It's a lot of fun. Check them out. Cult of Campbell still there. We just had Bruce Fest recently. We were part of the virtual Bruce Fest. So, you know,
they've announced another Evil Dead movie. So,
oh, yeah. So there we go.
Some you know, there will there. Be some new life breathed back into that old girl.
Yeah. Which will, of course, kind of hurt our efforts in Cult of Russell, which does exist. It's part of the Cult of Campbell.
I'm dying there. Dying for some Kurt Russell.
We're going to get it.
Don't
you worry.
Yeah. Do you guys understand how many times I have passed over Escape from New York? Bailey's never seen Escape from New York, and I have to keep passing it over because we all know we've got Cult of Russell coming out. Fine.
Yeah. If you guys want to see a Cult of Russell, you know.
Comment section.
There's some comments you could.
Start commenting at Ty.
Yeah, at Ty. That's good. Yeah. He'll know who you mean because it's Ty.
Yeah. On our Facebook page, at Ty. in the Cult Talks Conspiracy, hit watch their videos. Don't watch their videos. Just flood their comment section with it.
Yeah. Cult of Russell. Cult of Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And American Pie Slices, which is a short podcast series that explores one movie, American Pie. It's great. Ty and Michael host. You don't often hear Michael because he's usually working behind the scenes, but him and Ty together are a hoot, and they have great recommendations for like Apple related beers and ciders. So ciders, obviously. Anyway, I think that's all that housekeeping stuff. Like, share, subscribe, leave in comments. If you've listened this far, you guys are awesome. Let us know other books or chapters, like in particular from this series, that you may want us to review. Because as I get to them, we'll be covering them. Or you know,
or if I rediscover one that I really want to cover, I'll do that.
Yeah,
quotes.
Yeah, quote suggestions. We love those.
I saw that there is a new book coming out. Oh. It is a Deathcore of Creed book called this about the Siege of Rax, which is a very famous war.
Oh.
Would you like us to cover that book?
Say yes.
If so, yeah. Say Eric yes. loves the Deathcore of Creed. That would be our first time
actually doing a Krieg
full-on Krieg episode.
Yeah.
So let us know if you want us to cover that. We'll put down the Night Lords trilogy for a minute to get back to that.
Wow. Okay.
Also, Blood Meridian. If you guys know, you know.
Oh yeah.
But Blood Meridian is one of the books that I would like to cover, but I'm not forcing them to read that book. It's going to have to be of their own volition. However, I will absolutely allow you guys to bully them into it for me.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
So if you want us to cover Blood Meridian quicker, start pressuring them to read it.
Yeah.
I don't care that it scars them at all.
He doesn't. He really doesn't.
No.
It sounds so
I read
so
it.
Awful.
I liked it. Sue me. I liked it. I know. It's a good fucking book. It's horrible, but like it's a good book.
Such a tough sounding read.
It is. It's tough to read. It's tough to get through. I'm not going to lie, but it's a good book.
All right. So there you go. There's some things you can comment, and always for the algorithm still
it
works.
It's also appreciated if you're just feeling slightly lazy.
Someone left a for the algorithm on the Irish episode, and I found an Irish blessing to reply with. So
nice.
So I like well it. Deserved, I believe.
Oh,
so,
right. Yeah. Fantastic.
Right on. Okay. I think that's it.
I was going to try to think of a pun for Jerry, but I'm not going to.
Jerry. Oh my gosh. That's going to feel so sad. Well, there you go, guys. A punless ending to your podcast. So
with that, I'm Ben.
I'm Eric.
And we'll catch you guys next time.